Good morning from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. Welcome to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm your host, Teresa Watkins. I'm a landscape designer, garden author. I love helping people with their plants, horticulturists. You know, I can tell you a little bit about what you're trying to grow in your garden. So I do appreciate you being here. Good morning, Lizzie.
Good morning. Did you have a good week?
I had a great week. Busy week. Great. I was very happy that I missed all the rains, sporadic rains.
And that's stuff. Crazy that you were able to work around that.
Yeah, it just kind of like it was raining really hard where I couldn't see. And then I'd come into the area where I had an appointment and it was just sprinkling or very light showers. And so it was a great week. I see you're very happy today. You have been where and what are you drinking this morning?
Oh my gosh. So eggnog is out. So I got me some eggnog. Yes. And then since I don't have any caffeine in it, I went ahead and took two caffeine pills to kind of make up for my six shots of espresso that I usually do. So
there you go. Well, it'll be lively this morning.
You know it.
So it's going to be a great show this morning. It's going to be rainy this weekend, definitely through Tuesday, Wednesday for Central East Coast and South Florida. We may have a little bit of a tropical depression starting. It's never going to be a storm or a tropical storm, but it's going to give you a lot of rain, those of you in South Florida. And we desperately need it down there because of the drought situation that we had in the springtime. Some areas are just not getting enough water. And I will tell you that some of the cities are down 2 to 3 inches for the year. But I just want you to know that just because it says we have a drought and people say, well, we're in a drought, you don't have to water more. You just have to water your, 1.5 inches of water a week and your landscape's going to be fine. It's not that we have to catch up with if we're in a deficit of 3 inches or a deficit of 5 inches. You don't have to catch up and water often or water longer just because we're in a drought. We just irrigate responsibly and correctly. Now, the reason we've had this drought is kind of that we haven't had any storms. And we need those tropical storms. We need those tropical depressions to give us rainfall to refill our aquifer.
Yeah, and that's crazy. We've really been pretty lucky with them just kind of skirting around. Yeah,
We've been praying, haven't we? And so, North Florida, you're rainy this weekend, but you're dry and mostly cloudy next week. It's a good week to get out in the garden for you to fertilize. If you need to use an herbicide, it'll be a great week to do that. Gainesville, you're going to be rainy through midweek and then dry for a few days and rainy next weekend. No need for irrigation, though, at all for the next week for anywhere in Central Florida. Just we're getting enough rain. Central Florida's low to mid-80s temperatures. Every day there's a chance for rain. So I would hold off on fertilizer for next week because we're getting so much. We're getting that 2 to 5 inches. Some areas on the East Coast may see some flooding.
Right.
So you don't want to fertilize this week, even though we're allowed to now.
I always thought it was kind of crazy I know that we do get a lot of rain during the summer, but then it's like during hurricane season, they're like, oh, okay, you can start fertilizing now. And I'm like, wait.
We're still.
We're going to wash away.
Yeah. And, we should be putting fertilizer down when the plants and the lawn is growing. That's when the plant can absorb those nutrients. But it also adds to our, stormwater pollution and our lakes and things not being cleaned. So we really don't need to fertilize right now. Tampa, mid to high 80s. It's going to be a lovely week. Only 30% of chance of rain each day, all cloudy. South Florida, 60-80% chance of rain every day, and it's a chance for a tropical depression forming. So it's not going to be windy or gale force winds and things like that, but the winds will pick up, but no need for rain. So this is going to be a great week for the garden. I'm really excited to get out and do that. So go to Facebook on our Better Lawns and Gardens page. You will see, it looks like Lizzie. It's not Lizzie, but it looks like Lizzie planting a zinnia garden. And so for Beverly, you in Tallahassee, and those of you who live on some, property acreage, you want to create a beautiful butterfly garden, this is a time to do it. In fact, this is a good week to do it with the rain. You can see Lizzie number one or Lizzie number two.
Wannabe.
Yeah, you want it, Lizzie wannabe. That's right. And planting a zinnia garden, and it just looks amazing. And so I thought about you. Also, too, there is a fall display that I took a photo of. I really thought it was great. The garden tours, when I go, I get so many design inspirations for my own clients, for myself. And this is a beautiful fall garden with burgundies and light grays. It's really, really pops. And so it's got Florida plants in it. So I'm very pleased with it. And so
yes.
I think it's gorgeous. Now, on the Facebook page, I also have, and we'll talk about this a little bit later, a great person who passed, an actress. And so I'll talk a little bit about her, and I'm going to enjoy seeing her. But also, too, we're going to be talking about pumpkins today, how to know when to harvest.
Mm-hmm.
The dirty word of the day is about pumpkins. And we are also going to be taking your questions. No guests today. So it's all about call in. Your gardening questions, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680, and you can give us a call. I'd like to give a shout out to all of the Florida Federation of Garden Club members who were in my Zoom class this week on basics of a teaching tour. I want to give them a big shout out. If you're looking for an activity to do, you're new to Florida, join a garden club, a local garden club. You will have a great time, and you're going to learn so much about gardening. It's Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. This morning is all about you and your gardening questions. 1-888-455-2967. You can put that in your phone. You have it right away. And you can even call in midweek for Simon. And then also you can text me 23680 to tell me what morning beverage you're drinking. Let's go to Pinky in Port Orange. Good morning, Pinky.
Good morning. I have basically a native Florida yard. I try to keep everything as native as possible.
Okay.
But I do have some grass that in my pathways that I get, I think it might be torpedo where it shoots up that long spike, mm-hmm. spike during these rains and all those seeds are on it.
Mm-hmm.
Is that torpedo grass?
Do you live near a lake?
No.
No. It might be wild Bermuda. It could be torpedo grass, okay. But I think it might be wild Bermuda.
Okay. When should I put I guess it would be a pre-emergent down for next year so I can start getting rid of those seeds.
Okay, so do you have the grass now? Do you have this weed now?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, and the grass isn't that high, but those spikes there are sticking
right.
up. They keep coming up.
So I would put a herbicide down on it, okay, for now do you have St. Augustine or Bahia grass in your regular path?
I don't know. I'm not a grass person. I don't know.
Okay, so if you send me a photo of it, of the actual okay. grass, not the weed, but the grass, then you can figure out whether you need to put down some atrazine or 2,4-D dicamba. And you can even take it into the nursery or the box store you go to, and they will tell you what kind of grass it is. But go ahead and email me. I think you have it, and I'll tell you.
It's got those long, you know, it grows long ways.
Okay, rhizome. So it goes sideways with the rhizomes?
Yeah.
Okay,
uh-huh.
That's probably St. Augustine then. Okay, so you can use an atrazine on it right now. And what usually they do is they do have a kind of a pre-emergent in with the herbicide, so it prevents the weeds from coming back right away. Okay, but then in probably at the end of January, first part of February, you can put the pre-emergent down again. Okay?
Okay.
And you can do a separate pre-emergent for weeds.
So now and at the end of January.
Right. End of January, first part of February. Especially depends on the temperature, Pinky. If we have a warm January, the weeds are going to start popping early. If we have a really cold, and I don't think we are. I think we're going to have a warm winter this year. That's kind of what the forecasters are predicting. Then you can go ahead and put it down at the end of January, and that'll stop it from coming back.
Thank you so much. And Lizzie said I could ask one more question.
Sure.
Sorry to take I have 9 raised garden beds, and I got a chip drop 3 years ago. And those beds now have broken down to the most beautiful dirt ever. I've complemented it with some fertilizer and some compost from, you know, my food scraps, and it's just beautiful now. But I think it might possibly be too compact. Can I safely add some of my yard sugar sand? Can I add some of that sugar sand?
Sure. If you think it needs it, that's fine. Just make sure there's no weeds in it. So it has to be a good area where you have no weeds. Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you calling in, Pinky. Great to hear from you. So send me a photo. So. Hopefully she heard me, but so Pinky, send me a photo of your grass, but it sounds like a St. Augustine. And that's a good way to remember the herbicides, the weed killers, is St. Augustine, atrazine. So it rhymes. And then 2,4-D dicamba is bahia. So the 2,4-D dicamba, bahia.
I love that.
Isn't that cool?
That was actually genius.
Yeah. So I want to give a shout out this week. Well, let me do this one first. I mentioned the Florida Federation of Garden Clubs. Mm-hmm. So if you're new to Florida or you want to join a garden club and you don't know where to begin, the website for Florida Federation of Garden Clubs is www.ffgc.org. ffgc.org. And on it, you can put your zip code in there and find a garden club for you. So I do appreciate them, all Florida Garden Club members, because they're really great. This week, I had an opportunity to buy some plants for a goldfish pond and for a water feature. Ooh. And so I found a new store, and it's kind of new. They've been around for a couple of years, but I wanted to let everybody know where it is. And they have great, great plants, very reasonable plants. And it's called Something Fishy, and it's in Oviedo. And the address is 1977 Alafaya Trail, and 1091 is the store number, 32765. So that is Something Fishy. And I bought so many great plants, oxygenating plants, submerged plants. They were out of the water lilies, but they usually get water lilies in. So Stephen Perry was the gentleman who was helping me, and he was great. And they bag up all the plants for you, and you can take them home in the car. So I love it.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, all the kind of reeds and grasses and underwater plants. So you need to have a perfectly balanced goldfish pond. You need to have oxygenating plants. You need to have submerged plants that can use up the nutrients in the water and take the algae out. And then your water lilies kind of cover it, so the less sunlight your pond gets your area, the less algae it will have.
Oh, and that's cool, because I'm looking at their website, and they actually offer, you can purchase gift cards. So, hey, we got the holidays coming up.
I'm telling you.
Somebody who either has
exactly. I was really, really impressed, and the plants and the fish were amazing. They even have saltwater plants and saltwater coral.
Oh, wow.
Lots of coral. So it was really cool.
Yes.
So if you're in the area, go see Something Fishy. Tell Steven I said hi. And I do appreciate a business that really looks after their customers. And so that's really cool. 1-888-455-2967. Or you can text me 23680. Let me know what your morning beverage is. Or you can just say hi out there. Big shout out to Mike. Tom some other ones. Beverly. I hope Beverly calls in today.
She texted me during the week. So,
okay, yeah. Good. Yeah, so Beverly, can't wait to hear from you. So Jane Pollock emailed me through my website, which is she-consulting.com, she-consulting.com. And Jane bought 4 blueberry plants from from Tractor Supply this week. They have some brown spots on the leaves, and upon further examination, I also see some other discoloration on the leaves. I'm not sure if this is a fungal disease or a bacteria blight. Jane is saying, I don't know if I should keep the plants or return them. They're good-sized plants, but I'm concerned about my other plants in the garden that this could spread to. Jane, do not worry about your blueberry plants. They're fine. Mine kind of looks the same way. There's not a lot of brown spots, but there's one or two. That comes from the rainfall, and it is a slight fungus, but they're going to start going dormant. Okay, so if you say they're nice and dense and thick and everything except for these brown spots, do not worry about them. It's not going to pass to your other plants. The leaves are going to fall off. I would be clean in my garden so you don't spread it next year, but it's not going to kill it, okay? So this is just the fall, kind of like the crepe myrtles. They start to, you know, get all the issues with powdery mildew and also their, disease issues in the fall. But the leaves are going to fall off, so there's no reason to do anything. Just make sure you're going to give them a good last-minute fertilizer for the fall, and they'll be ready to grow next spring. Great question. No worries about that. That is really, that's a really good question. So you just speak it out, and she calls in. That's wonderful. Good morning, Beverly. How are you?
I'm well. How are y'all doing?
We're doing great. It's good to hear from you. I loved seeing your message, and I talked last week about your ironweed. What you doing this week?
Well, I have an amaryllis question.
Okay.
I have a bed of amaryllis that I started, 15 years ago, maybe something like that, and just started with a few and then added a few, and they... Like most things in nature, they multiply.
Yes, they do.
And so they're in a round, they're half of a round bed. So the bed is about 12 feet across and 5 feet deep. Okay. And I tried to count how many amaryllis I have, and it's somewhere around 50. So I'm thinking I might need to separate. Excuse me. I might need to separate them.
Uh-huh.
They didn't bloom much last year, so do I wait until they go dormant and all the green dies back, or do I separate them now and let them? How would I do that?
I would go ahead and separate them now, not a problem. Okay. And then they'll just go dormant anyway in the winter time, and then they'll come back next year, and then just make sure you're fertilizing, every so often.
Yeah, I do that. So. When I dig them up, do I need to, put them in the shed and let them dry out?
No.
Okay. And then if some of the bulbs are, sometimes when they multiply, they grow up together.
Mm-hmm.
So just break those apart?
I would just, even just take a knife and just slice them right down the area where they're attached. That will be fine.
Okay, well, I'm jealous of y'all having some rain down there.
I know.
May, June, and July, we had 90 days and 90 nights of water, but now it's scorched earth up here.
Yeah, it's really dry. Hopefully this tropical storm, I don't think it's going to reach you, but you should have some rain next weekend. So Monday and Tuesday and next weekend should get some rain.
Well, I'm going to hold you to that. We need it really badly.
So then you had a story you wanted to tell me.
Well, I wanted to mention the hummingbirds.
We have
hummingbirds up here. And, of course, as they're getting ready to migrate over to Mexico, they start feeding in like crazy. Like I was making 4 quarts of sugar water a week there for about a month. And then last Sunday, they all just split, en masse, gone. But we do have, I get indigenous and native mixed up, but we do have hummingbirds that live here year-round.
Yes.
They're called rufous, just in case people aren't aware
of
it.
No, please, you're doing great. Can you hang on? Can Beverly hang on? All right, Beverly and Jerry from Citrus County, hang on. We're going to get back to you when we come back from the break. It's Saturday morning from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. This is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. We are having a chat with Beverly in Tallahassee, and she is a longtime listener, and we love her stories. And so, Beverly, you were talking about the hummingbirds, the rufous hummingbirds, which are native to the area.
Yes. They just so people know, they're smaller, if you can imagine that. They're smaller than the normal hummingbirds. The first time I saw one, I thought, that guy's a runt. But they're just they have a very short beak and a very short tail, and they don't have as much of that, you know, those beautiful colors.
Right.
But they're here, and if you keep a couple of feeders up, they'll come to the feeders all winter long.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, I just thought that it would be nice for people to know that.
Yeah, now what time of the day do you usually see them? When?
All day long.
Wonderful.
Sun up to sundown. And I mean, this last month before they left, they were just swarming everywhere. I had to be careful when I opened the door that they wouldn't fly in the door.
Oh,
you know?
Your yard, your property must be heaven. I think that's wonderful, Beverly. Well, thank you so much for calling in. Keep me updated. Let me know when they stop coming through, and you can give Lizzie and I a call anytime. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
All right, Beverly, take care. And so that's Beverly in Tallahassee. Let's go to Jerry in Citrus County. Good morning, Jerry. How can I help you?
Oh, good morning, Teresa. I have a papaya tree that came up in my garden, and it has a dark red trunk and dark red stems.
Okay.
And now it's just starting to bloom. It looks like a female because it has single blooms and junction there.
Okay.
And I was wondering if you could tell me anything about it. Is it something unusual or just something that papayas do?
Well, no, I really don't recognize that, but I would have to see a photo. But how tall is it?
Oh, it's about 10, 12 feet.
Oh, how great.
It looks really nice, too. It's got a nice straight trunk and everything. You know?
Wonderful. I'm not sure. It could be the variety. I'd love to see a photograph. So it could be just a different variety of papaya tree. Usually the ones I see are green, and they got green trunks on them. So I don't know what the red is.
Yeah, mine too. I have others, and they all got green, you know, the regular ones. I can see this store-bought ones.
Right.
Or the ones from Hawaii. What is it? I forget now the name of it, but there's one in Hawaii that has a round papaya.
Uh-huh.
But they all have green trunks.
Okay. The green trunks. So I'm wondering if it is a papaya. How do you know it's a papaya?
It has all the same leaf form and trunks and marks and stuff. It's just red.
It's just red. Mm-hmm. See, that kind of tells me it may not be one. It may look like a papaya, and it may have a little flower on it, but it may not be a papaya. So I don't think it should be red. The leaves should not be red on a papaya.
No, the leaves aren't red.
Oh, okay, just the trunk.
The leaves are green on the top. You know, there's a little red veins in them sometimes.
Red veins.
The stems are total red. Dark. It's dark red, too.
Okay, let me look that up, and let me see. I'll talk about it as in the second hour, Jerry, okay?
Okay. Can I ask you another question?
Sure, sure.
While I was waiting, I thought of another one. There's supposed to be a chemical out there. I talked to some guy at one of the stores that he has that goes to work and kills sand spurs in bahia grass outright.
Right.
You don't have to use the pre-emergent. Is there such a real thing like that?
Yeah, there is.
Oh, there is?
Yeah,
oh,
I mean, any herbicide. So if you've got bahia grass, 2,4-D dicamba will kill sand spurs.
Oh, it will?
Yeah.
Oh,
because it's
all it is?
Yeah. So just
had a big chemical name to it. I thought, oh, geez.
Well, you know, sand spurs, there's a number of different chemicals that will kill it. But, I mean, you could even use, like, Brush Be Gone on it. So how many are we talking about?
What?
Sand spurs. Yeah. Do you have, like, a large area or one or two?
Yeah. There's a pretty large area now. They have spread the old thing where they killed the trees down and stuff. You know, they were clearing land.
Uh-huh.
And it's next to me in part of mine.
Right.
So, the sand spurs are invading.
Okay, well, I would just use 2,4-D dicamba on your Bahia grass. But here's the thing, Jerry. I want you to bag your clippings, okay? I want you to not let the seeds go back into the ground, all right? Because then they'll come back next year. So if you've got a bagger on your lawnmower, do you?
No, I go to work when I got bad things. I drag something soft over the lawn and try to pick up the seeds. It's soft, you know?
Yeah.
Like a blanket, you know, an old time blanket.
Oh, I see. So you get, and then that's the way you disperse of it. Okay. Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah,
so
I just can dispose of it.
Yeah. Yeah. So I would just make sure that you don't, that the clippings don't go back into the ground as far as the sand spurs. Because that's going to be seeds for next year, and they'll come back next year. All right.
Yeah, I don't need that.
No.
Thank you, Teresa. I appreciate that.
You're welcome, Jerry. Thank you for calling in. So. Yes. So let me just say right here, let me see right here. This week, we lost a wonderful soul, and it's Dame Catherine Patricia Rutledge. She's a dame now, and she was best known for a comedy role as Hyacinth Bouquet or Hyacinth Bucket, and it's where I get my bouquet list from. So I wanted to give her some homage. So if you could just play a little bit of why she's famous. She's a Shakespearean actor, never married, had no children. She was in To Sir With Love in 1967. That's the first time I saw her. But she died this yesterday, age 96. So God bless you. Rest in peace, Patricia. So I love watching Keeping Up Appearances and her poor husband. So thank you, Lizzie, for finding that and playing that. We're going to be back with more of your gardening questions and your text messages. 1-888-455-2967. You can text 23680. It's Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. From the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. And now, Teresa's top five.
My top five this week are my top five landscape plants with great texture that I love that should be in every garden. Number five is a begonia iron cross, Begonia Maceanana, zone 11 to 12, totally tropical, native to China and Vietnam. It's got a little green and white flower, but it's puckered, pebbly textured, and green to brown burgundy foliage. It's a full shade plant, great color. So the iron cross, aluminum plant, Pilea catarrhi. And this one is zone 11 and 12 too. Totally tropical, native to China and Vietnam. Green and yellow, white flowers, wonderful. And I love it. It also goes in the shade, great ground cover. Number three, my leopard plant, Profusium japonica. It is zoned 7, 7.5, 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12. Leopard plants are beautiful, kind of tractor seats, John Deere tractor seats, and it looks like a big, big dollar weed, but it's got beautiful, beautiful petals and beautiful leaves and yellow flowers. Two, Dusty Miller. I think everybody's familiar with that. Zones 9 to 11 from Northern Africa. Dusty Miller is usually grown as an annual, prefers light, well-drained soil, sun or shade. Remove the flowers to keep it growing. And my number one great plant with great landscape plant with great texture, a ruffled fan palm, Laquala grandis. It's native to the Solomon Islands, full to partial shade, zones 10 through 12. It's one of the most interesting and elegant of all the small palms. It's got glossy, pleated, fan-like fronds, and it has red fruit on it. It's just wonderful. Now, if I said 11 to 12 are totally tropical, you can grow these plants indoors. So you can grow them on your patio. You can grow them and you know, protect them from the winter. But these are wonderful landscape plants. What did you think of the iron cross?
Okay, I think I've got one or two of those because I went like nutso with the begonias.
Yes.
So yeah, I lost what I call my Alice in Wonderland one that has the swirl.
Yep, the escargot. Yes,
I let it get too hot and didn't water it enough, and so I lost that one. So I'm okay. Very sad about that. So yes. but I do have. I'm almost positive.
They're just wonderful. I love plants with texture. They can do so much in a garden.
Yes.
1-888. We've got our last segment for this hour. 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. One of the plants that I found up north that I didn't realize came in so many different varieties. I was used to a Mona lavender, which is a beautiful purple, purple flowering too as well. A tropical plant. It doesn't take freezes, but it looks lovely in hanging baskets and in pots as a filler or a spiller in your container gardens, Plectranthus. And if you go to the Facebook page, I've got a wonderful fall display of beautiful plants that are burgundies and all kinds of different colors. But Plectranthus are mainly annuals and perennial shrubs. They're best planted in the spring, but you can plant them right now because this is Florida. And they do well in ground containers and houseplants. They also are very low maintenance. They don't get disease issues or insect issues. They are a member of the Lamiaceae family, and they'll get to be 6 to 7 inches tall, well-drained, acidic, and their flower colors are purple, pink, white, and blue. So I love them. And they're really leafy, so they're really thick leaves on some of the varieties. So
I like how you said, well, because this is just Florida.
Well, a lot of the plants, is, you know, they say annuals because they grow up north, but, you know, it's Florida. So we do have some benefits, right?
Right, exactly.
We can grow plants all year round, but it's so wonderful when I do these garden tours and I go up north and see all these beautiful tropicals. And I'll go, I don't know the name of that one.
Mm-hmm.
And so we did. This was the one we saw was at Wave Hill on our Hudson Garden Tour. And you can check out all our garden tours on artandbloomgardentours.com and come with us. We just geek out at plants.
All right. What do you have coming up next?
We have the Philadelphia Flower Show.
Whoop.
Iconic.
Wow.
Oldest flower show in the United States with visits to a lot of other different gardens. And we even have we get to talk with Frederick Law Olmsted.
Oh, wow.
So who is a famous one of the, created the Central Park in New York and a lot of the New York park system. So Frederick Law Olmsted, wonderful. We get to talk to him.
Oh, I love that. I love the guy. You got any more spots left? Because I know
we do tend to sell out. And so we also have the Revolutionary Garden Tour, which is coming up, and that's getting full. And then the Chelsea Show always fills up. So you can go to artandbloomgardentours.com. And look at, check them all out. Let us know if you're interested so we can put your name on the list. There's so many others.
You'll be able to get all the information, the cost for it and whatnot.
We've got most of the, we've got the first three tours of the year up. We're working on the others.
Okay.
So I'm trying to get the best prices so we get them really low.
Exactly. So. Exactly. And we have a special guest this next week.
We do. Oh my goodness. I am so excited. Dr. Gary Bachman, our good friend from Mississippi. He is going to be down with his beautiful wife, Katie, next week, and he's going to be a lot of fun.
Yes.
He's always fun when he comes, but have him in the studio is just so great.
It's awesome. I'm excited.
Yeah, he's a lot of fun, so you got to admit, you can't wait till next week. It's going to be a great show. 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. If you go to our Facebook page, please like us and share with your friends, you know, those of you who have new friends and family coming in. You can go ahead and, give us a like. We like that. And then also, too, we're on iHeartLizzie, so if they miss any of the show or want to write down the lists or anything else, you know, we talk about, they can listen to it on podcasts.
Yes, if you go to betterlawns.com, that's betterlawns.com, you can find all the episodes there.
And so in the next hour, I'm going to be talking about how to grow pumpkins. And, you know, it may be, you know, some people think it's a little late because pumpkins, you know, we should be harvesting them now. But we can go ahead and get the seeds for next year. We can talk about it. But some are already growing pumpkins. How did you plant pumpkins this year?
No, they planted themselves on our burn pile. And it was like so crazy because like we had like full like grown and like bottle shape, like 2-liter bottle shape ones. And it was just crazy. And I was just like, okay, y'all can't grow over there where I make it nice and pretty and smell good and bug free, but you're going to decide to grow on top of a burn pile. So yeah, we don't have any we can carve or anything, but yes, I grew orange pumpkins. I was so happy.
Isn't that something?
Well, they grew themselves.
So on Better Lawns and Gardens Facebook page, I have how to carve a pumpkin with chickens. Did you see that?
I did see that. That's and I absolutely funny. Love them. But you know, it's funny. Like, I don't know that this is like a normal, like this is for all turkeys, but my turkeys don't care for pumpkins because the last year I had some pumpkins and I went and bought some more. Now they love watermelon. Watermelon is like meth to them. That and black.
So what do you feed the turkeys at Thanksgiving then for dessert? Right?
I just mean their normal feed, but their go-to, their little treats are watermelon or black oil sunflower seeds. That is like, when I say that's like meth to them, that is like meth to them. So,
oh my goodness. So I wanted to give a shout out to Eric. He's so funny. He wants to know if, what is it that we got Stephen Perry, if I met Stephen Perry in a nursery. No, Stephen Perry is spelled S-T-E-P-H-E-N. Something Fishy. It is a fish store, aquarium store in Oviedo on Alafaya Trail, and Something Fishy. And just say hi to Stephen Perry for me. It's not the same Stephen Perry. And I didn't get his autograph, Eric.
And they're not a sponsor of the show. However, the fact is I've been mesmerized. Their website has got just like all these fish constantly moving.
I know,
moving.
It's a cool website.
I like that. I don't have to feed them. I can just bring up the website. I don't have to clean a tank. I can just have the website up on my desktop.
It's a great website, but it has beautiful coral and plants and also fish. Lots and lots of different types of fish. And saltwater tanks. And so it's really cool. So Stephen Perry, thank you for helping me out this last week. It was just wonderful. So I do appreciate it. We're going to come back. It's going to be your turn for gardening questions. 1-888-455-2967. Or you can text 23680. I did have Eric. Yeah, Eric. So I did say Central Park in New York, and he's responsible for the Biltmore and Bock Tower Gardens. He was instrumental in that. So he's a great architect. So we're going to get to meet him. So, Eric, you should come along.
So cool.
Yeah. So it'll be wonderful. I do have to tell Lizzie because she's saying it's so cool. And he died a long time ago, like, you know,
what?
100 years ago.
No.
So, no, yeah.
Oh, come on. Crazy.
I just had to tell you because she said, oh, that's cool. And I'm thinking, yeah, no.
Should I tell her he's dead? You are horrible.
We're going to come back with more of your gardening questions. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.